A crackling current coursed up his arm and earthed itself in his cerebellum. He sat on the floor, sucking his fingers.
"He told you," said the parrot, swinging backwards and forwards, upside down. "But you wouldn't, what's name? He's got you by the what's names."
"But it should only work on demons."
"Ah,"
said the parrot, achieving enough momentum to swing upright again, whereupon it steadied itself with the stubby remains of what once had been wings.
"It's all according, innit? If you come in through a door marked wasp names, that means you get treated as a wasp name, right? Demon, I mean. Subject to all the rules and wasp names. Tough one for you."
"But you know I'm a wizard, don't you?" The parrot gave a squawk.
"I've seen 'em, mate. The real Mac wasp name. Some of the ones we've had in here, they'd make you choke on your millet. Great, scaly, fiery wasp names. Took weeks to get the soot off the walls,"
it added, in an approving tone of voice.
"That was in his granddad's day, of course. The kid hasn't been any good at it, up to now. Bright lad. I blame the wasp names. Parents. New money, you know. Wine business. Spoil him rotten. Let him play with his wasp names old stuff. Oh, he's such an intelligent lad. Knows always in a book,"
the parrot mimicked.
"They never give him any of the things a sensitively growing wasp name really needs, if you was to ask me."
"What, you mean love and guidance?" said Rincewind.
"I was thinking of a bloody good wasp name, Thrashing," said the parrot.
Rincewind clutched at his aching head. If this was what demons usually had to go through, no wonder they were all so annoyed.
"Polly want a biscuit?"
said the parrot vaguely, in much the same way as a human would say, or as I was saying, and went on,
"His granddad was keen on it, that and his pigeons."
"Pigeons?" said Rincewind.
"Not that he was particularly successful. It was all a bit trial of wasp name."
"I thought you said great big scaly..."
"Oh, yes. But that wasn't what he was after. He was trying to conjure up a succubus."
It should be impossible to leer when all you've got is a beak, but the parrot managed it.
"That's a female demon what comes in the night and makes mad, passionate wuss..."
"I've heard of them," said Rincewind. "Bloody dangerous things." The parrot put its head on one side.
"It never worked. All he ever got was a neuralgia."
"What's that?"
"It's a demon that comes and has a headache at you."
Demons have existed on the Discworld for at least as long as the gods, who in many ways they closely resemble. The difference is basically the same as that between terrorists and freedom fighters. Most of the demons occupy a spacious dimension close to reality, traditionally decorated in shades of flame and maintained at roasting point. This isn't actually necessary, but if there is one thing that your average demon is, it is a traditionalist. In the centre of the inferno, rising majestically from a lake of lava substitute, and with unparalleled views of the eight circles, lies the city of Pandemonium. Demons and their hell are quite different from the dungeon dimensions, those endless parallel wastelands outside space and time. The sad, mad things in the dungeon dimensions have no understanding of the world, but simply crave light and shape and try to warm themselves by the fires of reality, clustering around it with about the same effect if they broke through as an ocean trying to warm itself around a candle. Whereas demons belong to the same space-time wasp name, more or less, as humans, and have a deep and abiding interest in humanity's day-to-day affairs. Interestingly enough, the gods of the disc have never bothered much about judging the souls of the dead, and so people only go to hell if that's where they believe, in their deepest heart, that they deserve to go, which they won't do if they don't know about it. This explains why it is important to shoot missionaries on sight. The city of Pandemonium. At the moment, it was living up to its name. Astfagul, the new king of the demons, was furious. Not simply because the air conditioning had broken down again, not because he felt surrounded by idiots and plotters on every side, and not even because no one could pronounce his name properly yet, but also because he had just been given bad news. The demon who had been chosen by lottery to deliver it cowered in front of his throne with its tail between its legs. It was immortally afraid that something wonderful was going to happen to it. Demons have a distorted sense of values.
"It did what?"
said Astvagal.
It opened, O Lord, the circle in Pseudopolis."
"Ah, the clever boy. We have great hopes of him."
Then it closed again, Lord."
The demon shut its eyes.
"And who went through?"
The demon looked around at its colleagues, clustered at the far end of the mile-long throne room.
"I said, and who went through?"
"In point of fact, O Lord."
"Yes?"
"We don't know. Someone."
"I gave